Do you ever have those moments when you're having a conversation with someone and you just are nodding your head in agreement the whole time and you just feel like this person shares the same mind as you? Well, that's kind of what happened on my call with Monique Alamdin. She's from Zen Hustler and she's definitely a Zen hustler. We delve really deep into fear. You know, the conversation, it really is like a conversation. And that was my aim for the show all along, to be having conversations with people about their stories and sharing parts of my journey to, you know, help normalize struggle and fear and failure. So I'm so excited to bring this to you. I hope you find it even a smidgen as inspiring as I found being on the call. Enjoy. Welcome to Carlosophy's Stories Behind Success. I'm Carly Nimmo. It's so easy to fall into comparisonitis as an entrepreneur, and it can be paralyzing. In my own journey, I've come to understand that regardless of your level of success, fame, or fortune, we're all suffering from the same stories of fear, struggle, and failure. So let's talk about it.
I guess my story begins, where does it begin? I guess the most recent place, what I call my epic restart, is I lost my sister-in-law December 27th of last year. That was a really big catalyst to just question everything in life and just sort of really assess where I was at. You know, what sort of legacy was I leaving behind? But like, who had this person become? I went from, you know, a glam-looking chickie who, you know, mind you, wore heels when she was pregnant, to this couch potato doing nothing zombie brain-dead person. So that was just a massive wake-up call for me. And I guess the starting point was I deactivated my old Facebook account because I just felt there was just so much noise. There was just noise, and I wasn't hearing my own voice. So I couldn't distinguish who I was anymore. Somehow I'd gotten lost. I'd gotten caught up in all this crap. And I was a fantastic cheerleader for other people, but I wasn't for myself. And I was so busy. And I guess in hindsight, I know it was a distraction. It was a deflection from my own fears. It was, you know, I almost lived vicariously through others. That was a massive turning point for me, and I literally cut out people, and I'm not in a bitchy or nasty way, but just sort of focused on what I was doing. I got healthy. I started boot camp. I started eating clean. I took time out. I minimized, I know it's going to sound really weird, but just like outsiders. I just needed to just go back within and just hear myself again, hear my own voice, connect with my spirit. And it was the best decision I've ever made because it's allowed me to come into my own. It's allowed me to understand that, okay, I'm so not like everybody else. And I know everybody says that and I know we're all individuals, but I was trying so hard to fit into one category, into one label, that I've come to realize that I am so many labels, and that's okay. That was a really massive turning point for me. So it's things like, you know, I'm not an introvert, not an extrovert. I'm an ambivert. There's times where I love speaking to people and being out there, and there are times where I just want to withdraw and nobody speak to me. You know, I'm multi-passionate. I don't like just one thing. I love so many different things. Love is the answer to everything to me, and yet you'll hear me talking about these bitch hardcore rap, you know, songs, and I'm just such a walking contradiction. And you know what? I love it now. I love it, but for a long time it was a real struggle finding where I could fit in. Where do I fit in? Even sometimes now when I see somebody doing something similar, I kind of get that twinge again, and I realize, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like that, you know, they have this similarity to me because it's my whole package that matters. It's the whole thing that comes together.
Totally.
And I think I just want to pave that way for other women as well to just find that light, connect with spirit, you know, reset you know, and move forward.
Yeah. So I really like that idea because I have my whole life I've struggled to fit into one box too, you know. Like I think I've spoken about this in some previous podcasts as well, you know, the whole idea of fitting into one box. And we hold on tightly sometimes to this idea that we're here to do one thing, you know, and we're here for like that one man, the white knight, and our purpose is the white knight of, you know, kind of
the savior.
Yeah. It's like we put our power outside of ourselves, you know, yeah. And so we're no longer really connected to ourselves and own our own power. We're kind of putting it out going, show me the way, when really we just need to listen to ourselves, you know. And I really love that, you know, I mean, I don't love that it was something really shit that happened that caused it, which often actually is the case, which is sad, but that really sad thing becomes a catalyst for something really great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can see that now, even though there's still a lot of pain with losing her. And even through the grief, there was a light somehow there. And, yeah, it's exactly like you were saying. It's you know, really, it's crap that it was just such, you know, shit circumstances. But, yeah. And just the saviour part that you were saying, I can so relate to that because this is the problem that I faced as well, was I was constantly looking for others to save me, whether it was consciously or unconsciously, and whether that would be with, I'm going to buy this program because that's the answer to my problems, or I'm just going to follow what this mentor does because, you know what, it worked for them. That, yeah, it's a sure thing for me. It's not the case. Yeah. And I learned that many, 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 many times.
Totally. So what did you do before? You said that you were a high heel wearing pregnant chick. Were you like living a corporate world and, you know, ticking the boxes?
Yeah, so I was in the corporate world for about 10 years. I was a recruitment consultant. And so that was really about, you know, dollars, really. I mean, I know on the outside it looks like, yes, we're finding the right person for the right job. And, you know, for me that's what it was about. And that's probably why it makes my stomach turn, because for me it was about, you know, finding the right person, finding this person the right job for them that's going to make their heart sing. Well, there's no time for that. It's all about sales. You've got quotas, you've got, you know, all these targets to meet that are unbelievable, and it's a real churn and burn industry. And so what happened was, towards the end of my time in recruitment, I don't know how this came across. One day I just thought to myself, I need to be a life coach. And the thing is, I didn't really know anything about life coaches. All I knew was I'd met one guy at one of these networking events that said he was a life coach. That's all I knew about life coaching. But that word just stuck with me. Before I knew it, I had left my job, went on to study to become a life coach. Straight after that, went on to be a master practitioner of NLP as well. And so then I got my first client. It was awesome, a $20,000 client. It was a corporate client, fantastic. I should have been really happy, but I wasn't, because what I did was I repeated the same pattern. I went for these stuffy corporates that just sucked the life and soul out of me. And mind you, it was in a really, like, I wouldn't say stuffy nose, but very like straight-laced accounting firm. So they were lovely people, but it just wasn't my cup of tea. And I was miserable. I mean, great, $20,000 client, who wouldn't say no, but I was miserable. And I'd been trying to have a child for, it was like 2 or 3 years, I think it was. And then what do you know, I felt pregnant right as I was coaching these people. So on top of that, I had baby brain, and it was just, oh. But clearly it just wasn't for me. But I guess what it taught me is you can get out there and you can do what you need to do, even beyond the intention. There's got to be a foundation, a strong foundation of self-worth is probably what's at the top of the list there, but the belief that it's possible and that you can do it. So then I had my daughter. I had been looking for a bodysuit for like years. I love bodysuits. I just love bodysuits. And I've been looking for years, you know. And they went around since, what, the late 80s, maybe early 90s. So I went, by this point I had like muffin tops and my plumber's cracks were showing everywhere. And, you know, one long hot day where I had like three layers on, you know, a singlet to cover my boobs because they were humongous, and then another one that I could pull down from the back so my muffin top and plumber's crack, you know, wasn't showing. And then I had shapewear underneath and I was like, there's got to be an easier way. Where can I find this freaking bodysuit? And I went, you know what, I'm just going to make it. And so I did.
With the press studs and everything?
Yep. So I started a range of bodysuits. The first one was a singlet style. And then I had something like 23 different styles basically, but I only ever released three. And so that came off out with a bang. Like I was in, you know, a lot of media, you know, Dolly Magazine and, you know, the Sunday Telegraph and all this kind of stuff. So I had some really good exposure. And then what happened was, oddly enough, and this is self-sabotage kicking in, of course, in hindsight, I couldn't supply the demand because the problem was that I was getting asked for all these different colours, different styles, different sizes, and I didn't have the room to hold the stock. And it was just so costly because if you can imagine, you know, there's so many different colours. I've got like maybe 8 different sizes in 20, you know, different styles. It's a real headache and it just wasn't where I wanted to be. As my usual self-sabotage works, I just stop and pull back and go, okay, let's just move on from this, put it in the too hard basket. So I took some time out and then came back to it and went, you know what, I'm going to try it this way. So I created a different model that may work, and it did work, but I just found that for me, I'm more of an instant person. So I'm more of a, here it is, out it goes, done. That's just the way I work, even with my coaching style. I'm not really one to sit there and talk about where you're at and how you're feeling, although I think that's very warranted and I do love doing that. But in terms of moving people forward, I'm a bit of tough love. I'm a bit of like, okay, we're here now. Okay, this is how you got here, but what are we going to do to move forward? And it's a matter of just cutting out all the bullshit. It's like, let's just get straight to it and move on. Yeah, I just wasn't feeling it. I just wasn't, and I sort of started to feel that vibe and sort of I could feel myself withdrawing a little bit, but I was still selling. People were coming to me. People were, you know, still really interested. And then I got into I turned raw food, so I was eating, you know, a lot of smoothies and juices and, you know, really clean kind of foods. Because I was having so many smoothies, I was constantly researching on the web. And I saw a picture of what looked like a glass straw. And I was like, do these really exist? And I did a search and sure enough, they actually existed. So I bought a couple and because there was only like one person at the time in Australia who was selling them. I bought a couple and I was like hooked. Oh my God, Carly, I was telling the whole world about these things. Like anybody here I'd speak to, have you tried this? Oh my God, don't they taste so good? Can you see how the drink goes up? Like it's so much cleaner. Like, wow. Like I was just beside myself and I was like, I don't like the way these bend though. I could do these better. And so I went from decision to making sales within a 3-week period.
Wow.
Yeah, I had my supplier, I had the stock. The website was done. I did it all myself. That's what I mean. When I work fast and I go, it's a good thing. When I sit there and procrastinate, it just doesn't work.
Yes.
And when same yes. for everyone.
I am so, like, I so hear you on that. Oh, my God. I'm the same. Like, often what will happen is, like, at the moment I'm working on something. I said to my own mastermind buddies yesterday, I have to open the cart on this, like, Monday. Otherwise, I'm not going to do it. You know, I've just got to commit and do it. And it was the same thing when I thought of my co-working space, I was like, this is a really great idea. I've got to do it. So I signed a lease before I could back out. And then I had to do it, you know, and that was a monumental failure with a lot of really good lessons in it. You know, you just got to sometimes commit and then act, you know, because when that procrastination sets in, and it doesn't matter if it's the world's greatest fucking idea, if you sit on it too long, your brain starts to question whether or not you can do it, you know, like all the self-worth issues start coming out, who wants to buy it, who would want to work with me on this? Like you got to act in that excitement stage, I think. Sometimes sitting on an idea for too long, just it distills forever and then it ferments and you got to throw it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the biggest things is distinguishing between whether it's an inspired idea or a fear-based idea. Because I find that sometimes I've done things out of fear, like thinking, you know, that FOMO thing, or this is it. You know, I've got to do this, rather than it's that feeling. And I don't know how to explain it in words, but somebody says it or calls it, I've heard the saying spirit tingles. And it's that I don't know, I get this tingle inside where I just know that this is it kind of a thing. And when I say this is it, it's not my lifelong, this is all I'm going to be doing, because as I said to you, I like doing lots of things and I've come to accept that rather than closing it off to this is my lifetime thing. Once again with the glass straws, it was like I said to my husband, I need to be doing this. This is it. And he didn't put up nothing. It was just like, okay, cool. And it was just one of those things that just all unfolded. And, yeah, it's understanding when you have that inspired feeling, that inspired idea, that's when you need to really act on it quickly, because, one, you've got to keep that energy going. It's got to stay flowing, because if you're going to stop, it's stunting it, and it's just it's watering it down.
Totally. And I think that moment is when the fear comes in and when you start making decisions based on fear. And, you know, when I started the Office Collective, I think like the idea was really inspired and I definitely felt very aligned with that idea. But then I started acting from fear rather than love. And so, you know, if I had acted from love, what I would have done would have been gathered a community and spread the idea around. And, you know, but instead I acted from fear, and I went to have a look at some places and I found one that suited, and I was so scared that someone else was going to get the lease on that I just signed. Whereas if I had trusted, it probably would have gone very differently. But then when you make one fear-based decision, you start making a whole bunch of other ones, you know, and then what could have been something fantastic ends up being something fantastic in a different way, and probably a much more painful way, you know?
It ends up being a lesson rather than I hear you on that one. And, yeah, you're right, the fear snowballs, doesn't it? It just starts off a little thing and then it just expands. Yeah. I mean, another inspired idea that I had was just a couple of weeks ago. So I'm really ideas person. Like, I could sit there and map out a whole sales funnel, and I could sit there and, you know, come up with awesome names for different products. And I've done so many for myself, but I don't have time to implement. And so I thought, you know what? This is another one of those things. Who said I can't earn money from having so many ideas?
Yes. Oh, my God.
I'm going to test this out. So what I did is I put a call out to all the groups and I said, hey, I really love naming stuff. I really love coming up with ideas, and I want to see if I can actually good at it for strangers and if I can actually monetize this. So I did a couple of like a few free sessions, and, you know, I was whipping out names in like 10 minutes, you know, half an hour I'd whip out five names and they'd be really happy with them. So I was like, you know what, I'm actually okay at this. And within 2 days I had already had like a paid sale, you know, from inspired idea to actually selling a session. Now, if I had just sat on that, that would have just dragged out. The energy would have gone. I would still be feeling very frustrated because I have no outlet for it. And, you know, speaking of which, I had another sale as well, like last week also. And that's another thing. Sorry, I'm getting really excited now. There is no way. The fear was holding me back in the past. So there was this fear of, it was the fear of being vulnerable.
Yes.
I could not show my vulnerability. So I couldn't come out and say, okay, I'm testing the waters here, guys. What do you think? I would come out going, this is what I'm offering. Yeah. And I'm just really great at this, so come and buy it. And the energy, the vibe wasn't there. I'm sure people picked up on it. But when I came out going, hey, you know what, guys? This is what I do for fun. I'm not sure if I can monetize this. Do you guys want to come along, you know, let me know what you think? Oh, my God, the vibe was so much different.
Yeah, because people are invested. People are invested in you when you do that, I think, you know. Like, people invest in you when you allow yourself to be seen rather than, and you know, come in straight at the expert level. You know, it's like, I'm human, this is my, I'm thinking maybe this, you know. People are like, ooh, I want to be involved in this, because they like to go along for the journey. You know, there's no shame in giving something a shot. Like, I think often when you're in these entrepreneurial circles, you see people who have high levels of success just doing one thing, you know, they're really focused on that one thing. But there's nothing wrong with just having a crack, having an inspired idea, giving it a crack. If it works, awesome. If it doesn't, then there's no shame in walking away, you know. I think you've got to try things to see if they work for you or not. You're never going to know if you're sitting on your ass waiting for the answers to come to you. You know, sometimes you've got to get off your ass and actually give things a crack.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
So glass straws, you're importing glass straws and having them made. And are you still doing this now?
I am. I love my glass straws. I still get as excited about them now as I did when I first discovered them. Granted, I've got a little bit sort of sidetracked a little because, you know, with my sister-in-law and just, you know, she's been sick for quite a few years. But, you know, people are still finding me. You know, people are, you know, I'm still getting wholesale orders. I'm still getting, you know, retail orders. So, yeah, I'm still very excited about glass straws. I think that I just want to be able to apply everything I've learned, you know, the good and the bad, like we were talking about, either their lessons or their, you know, great experiences or whatever they may be. You know, I want to sort of help other women now do the same, you know. But glass straws, I love, and there's different colours and there's different lengths and, yeah, I could talk about that. Glass straws forever, I love them. Did you know 500 million plastic straws are thrown out daily worldwide? Just a bit of FYI there.
That's crazy.
Plastic straws, there's like 46,000 busloads.
Oh, my God.
Like busloads. That's what 500 million would equate to. So if you can get a visual on that, it's insane.
Wow.
If you just think about McDonald's, how many drinks they would serve a day.
I know, that's exactly what I was just thinking about, because they don't even, like, they don't ask you if you want the straw. The straw just goes into the cup and it's out the window, isn't it? Like, wow.
And, I mean, glass straws, you just carry them and reuse them, you know, and they're made of Pyrex. So sometimes they drop, they break. Sometimes they drop, they don't. It just is potluck.
Yeah. So in addition to glass straws, is that your primary business now?
That with Zen Hustler.
Yeah. So what are you doing with Zen Hustler?
So with Zen Hustler, it's very much kind of putting together, well, not even putting together, sharing everything that's led me to this point. I mean, if I could save even one woman just the heartache of, you know, that negative self-talk and that, you know, trying to lock herself into some sort of a box, then I'm going to be a happy woman, because I just want to fast track their growth. I just want to fast track their, really, to be honest, it comes down to, it's really just tough love. That's me in a nutshell. I have so much love and compassion, but at the same time, I'm really like, let's just get this shit done. You know, this is where you want to go. This is how you're going to get there. Let's do it. Yeah. And just guide them through. Just actually, literally, like one of my programs is like just guiding them through on a day-to-day basis, just being there to go, what are you doing now? When's it going to be done by? What do you need help with, kind of a thing. So it's really just about getting out of their own way and I guess getting them to hustle. You know, for a while there was a really negative connotation with hustling, in that it meant something, you know, not so good. But, you know, hustling to me is just creating something out of nothing. It really is just getting out there and going, you know what, I'm going to do this. And it's just by, you know, that your sheer work, you know, what you're putting into it, that you're creating it. You know, and the Zen part of it is just that. I'm very spiritual. I'm very much into, you know, natural therapies and moon cycles and chakras and angels. And, you know, I love all that stuff. But you've got to hustle as well. There's got to be the balance of both sides. And I think that's what a lot of women struggle with. I know I struggled with it for a long time, once again trying to fit into those boxes. It's finding that middle ground of not being so woo-woo that, oh, I'll just wait for the guidance. You know, I need to hear the answers first before I make a move. It's like, no, get up and take action and the answers will come.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, isn't it? I think there's like in the last maybe – I've witnessed, and it might just be because it's been the journey that I've been on myself, but in maybe the last 5 to 7 years, there's been a good marriage between, you know, because I remember I started a website called Think Beautiful in 2010, I think, and it was me going through depression and anxiety and going on a bit of a healing journey myself. And I tried a whole bunch of different stuff and angels and chakras and, you know, all that kind of jazz. But for me at that point in time, I had this internal battle because that kind of stuff seemed a bit woo-woo to me. And like, I don't know, the people around me wouldn't really understand who I was, and, you know, maybe I should be wearing purple velvet and, you know, all that kind of jazz. But there's a really good marriage at the moment where I see both coming together. And my whole struggle with it was I'm a very grounded kind of person, and I found a lot of spiritual types way too up in the, you know, head in the clouds, really airy. And there's a good marriage between the two that I'm seeing now, and there's, you know, a lot of really empowered women just being who they are and embracing that they, you know, align their cycle to the moon and, you know, they put their crystals out and, you know, all that kind of jazz. I reckon it's really cool just to be able to own that stuff yourself, you know, not fear retribution. I don't know if it goes back, like now I'm going really out there, but I don't know if it goes back to like the witch hunt days or whatever, where, you know, we didn't feel like we could speak about this stuff. And I love that these days it's so much more acceptable or accepted that we can be spiritual and we can still be a kick-ass businesswoman.
Yes, yes. And the thing is for me as well, I've always felt kind of intuitive and psychic in so many ways, but I just never, you know, no disrespect to any tarot readers or anything like that, but it's just not for me. It doesn't float my boat. I'm really not interested in looking at, you know, reading tarot cards. And I'm not, like you were saying, I'm not interested in sort of sitting there and, you know, with my big cloak and my, you know, it's just not where I'm at. And but the thing is it's like I constantly wondered, why can't I offer the spiritual service, you know, with kick-ass women in business? And this is like before the movement or whatever's happening now has even started. Because the thing is with me, and that's another thing that I'm sort of working on overcoming, is being such an ideas person, I'll have an idea now and then in about 2 or 3 years' time I'll see people start to do it.
Oh, no, that annoys me.
That,
yeah, right. That happens to me all the time. I had a friend who draws amazing, like very mandalas, but they're like not the traditional type mandala, and they're just totally incredible. And a few years ago I said to her, we've got to turn these into colouring books, adult colouring books, and she was like, that's crazy. And then, you know, in the last year, adult colouring books explode, and it's just like, oh well. Yeah, I think we're kind of all plugged into one cloud and we're grabbing ideas at the same time, and some people take them and run with them and some people don't.
Yeah, and I'm realising that now. I used to think that you'd have an idea and it was yours. But I'm realising now about, you know, the collective consciousness, and I've always known about that, but just how connected we actually really are. You know, ideas do have, I guess, sort of a shelf life in some way, because it's like if you don't use it and take it, somebody else is going to take it. It just gets passed along, and you've got to be okay with that. And I'm starting to get okay with that.
You have to be able to be okay that this idea, like, you don't have ownership over it. So if someone else takes it and runs with it and they have success with it, then you've just got to wish them well and chalk it up to, oh, you know, I could have run with that, but it wasn't the right idea at the right time. And eventually you're going to grab one and you're going to run with it, and it's going to be, you know, the right one. It's not that one, but it's the right one for that time and space.
Time to kick up your feet and relax. It's On the Couch.
What is your biggest fear right now?
It's a bit of a contradiction, once again, because, you know, that's just my ink. It's not being myself. And then on the flip side, it's being rejected by being myself.
Yes.
So it's a bit of a double-edged sword for me. So on one side, if I'm not myself, I'm just, you know, going to feel so constricted. But, yeah, and then it's just about, you know, are people really going to want this? You know, like being myself and earning money for it. It's that, you know, that fear that sort of pops up, even though I know on a deeper level, I know that's not true. But, you know, fear is a fear.
Totally. Biggest struggle?
That would have to be finding my voice. There you go.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. And I struggled with it for years. I worked on my throat chakra a lot, a hell of a lot. Yeah, I did a lot of energy work, a lot of healing work. It was just so clogged up. You know, it could be past life stuff. There's, you know, a lot of stuff that come into play. But, yeah, it was something that I really had to work on.
What have been your biggest lessons?
Nobody is going to fucking save me but myself. You know, for many years it was like, I think, you know, as we were talking about before, about this mentor, this program, this whatever, none of it's going to do any good without a solid foundation within myself.
Totally.
And it doesn't have to be like overt, you know, I'm so confident and look at me. It's not about that. It's just that inner knowing.
Defining moments.
You know, there's been so many little ones. I can't really think of any major ones. The major one is probably my sister-in-law, to be really honest, because I could have sunk into a deep, dark hole that I don't know how I would have got myself out of. And instead I chose to make it the most productive time I've had in terms of getting my life back in order. So, I would have to say it would be that, because I've gone either way.
Yeah, for sure. So you were talking about before an idea that I explore with every single person I talk to, and that is the negative self-talk. So, you know, we all like to think that we could get beyond it, but I don't think there's a point where you can never have, you know, the negative person inside your head. What does that person say to you on a regular, semi-regular basis? What's the one thing that it says to you the most?
Okay, so this is probably a recurring theme, and it just last week, a couple of weeks ago, when I told you I created that naming program, my negative self-talk was, you know, can I really charge for something that comes so naturally to me? But it's easy to me. Like, why is that fair? Like, it's not fair. Like, you know, that kind of talk of, you know, why should I charge people? It's, you know, simple for me and all this kind of stuff. But then I remind myself of the value that I'm giving them, because this woman come away going, oh, thank you so much. I was stressing about this for ages and all this kind of stuff. So, and the really big one for me is, can I really earn money just being me? You know, just being myself and just sharing what's in here. Because when I went through my epic restart, as I call it, I even just detoxed from any mentors. Like, I just didn't want anybody's learnings. I just want my own. I want to create my own foundation. I want to create my own path for others to follow. So that kind of fear crept up a lot as well, because it's like I'm letting go of everything that I know and everything that's sort of solid to me, i.e. somebody else's success, and, you know, creating my own. So that's probably a recurring theme for me in my head, I guess.
Yeah, in the circles that we kind of hang around in, there's a lot of people who just devour self-help book after self-help book after self-help book and course after course after course after course. And I am not one of those people, and I've never been one of those people. You know, when I was pregnant, I avoided pregnancy books like the plague, parenting books. I hate them because I feel like it often, gets in the way of listening to ourselves, you know. And I mean, motherhood is a huge amplifier for that kind of stuff. And I've found that my own journey through motherhood is similar to my journey through business, in that I just have to trust myself, you know?
Yes.
And when you have all that noise, whether it's your Facebook feed or whether it's, you know, you're subscribed to 10 million newsletters of people telling you how to do this and how to do that, and how you get it paralyzes you. And you mentioned that before, you know, early on in our conversation, that you just felt paralyzed. And I think that, like, all of that noise, it stops us from listening to the noise that we really need to listen to, and that's the inner voice.
Yep.
Two more questions, actually three. One is, and mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to backtrack this one, or I'm going to give you a bit of a backstory. You know, in my own journey, I have, and you can kind of frame failure however you like to, but in my own journey, I find it very easy to find where my failures have happened. And one was the Office Collective. And, you know, it was just a business failure. And I kind of think sometimes people get the two confused, because a business isn't us. It's something that we create, but it's not us. So often, and my struggle was differentiating what was me from the business. And so when it failed at the time, it was kind of my failure. But those two things are very different. So what I want to ask you, and you know, for me, I think like it's very easy for me to find that failure. But prior to having that failure, I don't think I had really experienced any failure in business. Everything I kind of had done had worked. And, you know, some guests I ask, they, you know, they haven't really experienced big failure. Have you experienced failure on a large level?
Yes. Failure to me is not necessarily just in business. So losing everything I had quite a few years ago, we're going back quite some time, but at the time we went through a really rough time. We sold the house, you know, got rid of the fancy car, basically just started from scratch. And that was one of those things that we were talking about before, of it being such a blessing, because we got to build a stronger foundation, because we realized that the foundation we were building, our future, and I don't just mean our home, literally, I mean everything, wasn't solid. It wasn't solid in the sense that we had no appreciation for money. You know, we were earning so much, we were just spending it. And just getting back to the basics in life, just, you know, getting grounded again. So that was probably one of the best defining moments for me in terms of failure to success.
Yeah. Two more questions. A highlight. What has been an absolute highlight of your journey so far?
Creating two different product lines, I'd say, especially glass drawers. Just, you know, going from idea to, you know, making sales over a 3-week period. I thought that was pretty damn good considering it's a physical product.
Totally. That's fucking amazing. And last question, do you have any kind of self-care routines or things that you do to look after you?
Yeah, I sure do. I love my daily boot camp. That's been a lifesaver for me. So when I was saying to you about after my sister-in-law passed, that was the first thing I did. I joined a boot camp. And I've just met a group of awesome women, you know, from all walks of life, all different ages, different sort of, you know, older children, younger children, you know, just all different ages. And for me, it was about building that sort of system, I guess, that process that, okay, I don't need to think. I know that if I, you know, run this way, if I do this exercise, if I do that, if I eat this way, I know I'm going to get results. And that in itself, not only is it self-care, but it's also laid the foundation for me for anything else. Like, I've got a blueprint now. I've got a system now of what, you know, how I can make shit happen anywhere else, because that was massive for me. That was a massive turning point. I mean, like I said, I was a couch potato. That's what I reached. I reached a point of, you know, I was probably at my pregnancy weight. So I was not in a good place emotionally, mentally, physically. I just can't go back. If I miss a day, I am the grouchiest person. And I'm pretty happy by nature. I'm pretty easygoing. But if I don't work out now, I'm just not happy. Yeah. Not happy. So it's super important to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, food. Clean food is really important to me, so I don't have dairy, wheat or sugar. Wheat, I kind of jump in and out, to be really honest, just quietly, but sugar and dairy I just totally keep away from. Movies to me, I love movies. I love going into another world. So that to me is a bit of self-care, because I kind of just kick back and sort of just get out of, you know, where I'm at. And probably journaling. As you know, my green smoothies, of course, but journaling besides that.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
Okay, so my website is zenhustler.com, and that's where I'm kind of sharing my journey. You'll see, you know, different ways that you can work with me. One in particular that I want to talk to you about is called Action Taker Money Maker. What that's about is pretty much me in a nutshell of the, you know, tough love thing we were talking about before, but this is pretty full on. So it's 40 days one-on-one with me, and we talk every single day for the first 30 days, Monday to Thursday anyway. So every day we check in the morning and say, what's happening? Where are you at? What's going on? You know, you can email me, you can call me all day. And then we check in again in the afternoon. What's happened? Where are you stuck? What's going on? Every fortnight, we have a one-on-one session as well. And then the final sort of 2 weeks are email support. So I'm just constantly there with you the whole way through. And it's really about you breaking through your own barriers, because I just don't take shit. I don't settle for I couldn't because I was busy. You know, it's not that I'm going to be, or it's not that I am sort of mean about it or anything, but I just want to see you move forward. I just want to see you break through your own limitations. Like, it's really important. I know, because I've been there, and I know how I can start to believe my own hype. It's so easy to start believing your own hype and to think, yeah, you know, this is justified. I don't feel well, or I don't feel like doing this today because, oh, I've got this on. There's just no excuse. And, you know, if you're ready to, you know, make money and live the kind of lifestyle that you want to live, you need to take some serious action. And that's what I want to help with. I want to help you move forward and just smash through your own crap and, you know, strategize. So this covers four areas. There's health, there's life, there's business, and there's spirit. So it's not one-dimensional, because that's just not the way I roll. I don't like this, let's just focus on strategy alone, or let's just go all woo-woo. I give you my freaking all. Anything I've got that you need, it's there. Whether it be training, whether it be a quick emergency session, whatever it may be, I'm there for you. So that's at actiontakermoneymaker.com, but you'll find all the details at zenhustler.com. The other thing is, that naming session I was talking about, you'll find it there as well. It's on zenhustler.com.
And then you've got glass drawers too. Where do you find those?
So glassdrawers.com.au.
Yeah, well, that's handy, isn't it?
They're pretty cool.
The takeaway: exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper, and handed over the counter from our special guest to you.
You need to create your own world. What does that mean? It means that the life that you are longing for and seeking is not out there. It's within you. So you need to actually create what you want to see, because you're going to constantly be searching for something that doesn't exist. You've got to make it happen. It doesn't just happen. Anybody that's ever been successful has made it happen. That's probably the most important thing that I can say, and it's really about just being yourself. And it's about, you know, realizing that you have your own innate strengths and gifts, and that there is a way to monetize those skills. But stop listening to the outside noise, stop listening to what everybody else has to say, and start listening to yourself.
Sound advice. Awesome. Love it so much. Thank you so much for joining us. That was just totally rad. Blew my mind. Loved it.
Thank you. It was awesome being here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of the podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness just like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out.